Turning to Psalm number 6. Psalm number 6, and we're going to read together from the first verse. Psalm 6, well, the title there says, to the chief musician on Neginoth, upon Sheminith, a psalm of David. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. For the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Amen. Ending there at the end of that psalm, knowing the Lord will bless it for his name's sake. We're coming again this evening to another psalm of David. It is clear in the title there that David is the author. But note the other phrase. It says, to the chief musician on Neginoth upon Sheminith. And we have considered the chief musician in Neginoth in previous psalms, and Neginoth referring to string instruments. However, the other term there, Sheminith, there are varying opinions on this specific term. Some believe it to be an eight-stringed instrument. Others see it as a way of describing a key or a bass note in singing. And by a key, I don't mean the key that you put in a lock to open it, but a key in the realm of music is something that I probably know very little about, because I'm not very musical and I can't sing too well. But there are those who believe it to be an eight-stringed instrument. Others see it as describing a key or bass note in singing. This is a penitential psalm. It's a psalm that expresses David's sorrow, his humiliation, his hatred for sin. We do not know what a specific sin is in view here. For example, when we come to Psalm 51, we have there a psalm that expresses David's sorrow for his sin with Bathsheba. There is a time in view. There is a sin in view. We have David's actions recorded in other parts of Scripture. How he lusted after Bathsheba. How he made plans regarding her husband. And how he sinned greatly against the God of heaven. And Psalm 51 records for us his expressions of grief and sorrow, his hatred for his sin, his confession of it. And this here is a similar psalm. There's a psalm, this psalm here is a psalm also of lamentation. There is in view the sickness of the body, the troubling of the soul, the troubling of his soul. That should be in the notes, not sin's soul, but his soul, the troubling of his soul concerning his sin, and the continued attacks of his enemies. Notice here the key theme, that David prays for help with confidence, that the Lord will answer his cry. And this theme is similar to others we've had in the past. David does pray with the confidence. In previous psalms, David lifted up his voice to God, and by the very language that he used, we knew that he was praying with confidence. By what he prayed, we knew that he believed the Lord would answer his cries. Consider there Psalm 4, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. He believed the Lord would answer his cries, he believed the Lord would keep him safe, that he could lie down, that he could sleep, because the Lord would only make him dwell in safety. And so, the servant of the Lord has this continued confidence in his master. Notice here the general outline. It's slightly shorter than usual, but we have verse 1 to verse 7. And we have David's prayers concerning his condition and the return of the Lord's favour. Verse 8 to 10, we have David's assurance of the Lord's intervention. Notice here in regard to this cry of David, we have his complaints. His complaints. In verse 2, which says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed." And we see David pleading to the Lord, not only for mercy, but for healing as well. When we have sorrow, when we have complaints like this, when we have sickness and tribulation, then we must always turn unto the Lord. He alone is able to succor and to help and to aid his people. He gives us a help in our time of need. And it is very easy for us to look to other people. Certainly if we're sick in the body, we will turn to the world in the sense of medicine and in the sense of the hospital or doctors. And that is good and proper. Certainly there is a place for that. But as the people of God, we don't turn primarily to the doctor. Yes, we will go to the doctor. Yes, we will see the medication that they can give us. We will order it. We will use it. But we'll also turn to the Lord, and we ought to turn to the Lord. There are illnesses that can come upon us, and only the Lord can help. There are times in our lives when only the Lord can make a difference. And we should turn constantly unto him who is the great physician. I want you to notice here the nature of these complaints. The nature of these complaints. Notice that they were physical. They were physical. In previous Psalms that we have read together, Psalms of David, especially Psalm 3, Psalm 4, Psalm 5, we have recorded David's distress because of his enemies. But now we come to a psalm that refers to a different kind of distress, but a distress caused by sickness. In verse 2, David says that he is weak, and weakness is a certain sign of sickness. A number of weeks ago, when I wasn't here amongst you, I was weak. I didn't have the energy to do very much, and I certainly didn't have the energy to drive here and to conduct this meeting. And I wasn't well. It took me a week or so to get over whatever it was. But weakness was a sign that something was wrong. And when we are sick, we are weak. He refers to his bones being vexed in verse 2. O Lord, heal me. He cries to the Lord. He pleads with the Lord to heal him because his bones are vexed, or his very frame is being shaken with fear. And that's what it means. We have all experienced the pain of the body. We've all experienced the suffering that comes with sickness. We in our lives have experienced, I'm sure, different illnesses, different sicknesses. But we can all testify that they made us weak. We can testify perhaps that they did put fear into us. We wondered what was happening. We wondered what was taking place. Perhaps we asked the question, why is this happening? I remember, and of course what I'm going to say can be slightly humorous looking back. Certainly there were a lot of smiles and a lot of laughs whenever I've mentioned it in the past, certainly to others. But when I first arrived here in Australia and went to Melbourne, I had a number of hours seen around Melbourne. I went back to my hotel and I slept. And during that time, something came and bit me on my shin. As a result, I spent the next 3 or 4 days in bed. I had a headache. I felt my head was going to explode. I had a temperature. I could hardly move. It took all my strength to find a hospital and to get to the hospital and to sit in some state of alertness while I was waiting to be called. And the body was sore. My leg was burning. My head was in a very bad way. And it took me several days, even when I came here, it took me several days to fully get over it. And we've all experienced the pain of the body. We've all experienced the suffering that comes with sickness. And this was a situation that David found himself in. It was a very severe situation. He was weak. He was without strength. He was unable to help himself, and he turns to his God for aid. He was the king. But that did not prevent him from experiencing sickness in the same way as many of his subjects. We can experience the weakness of the body. We can experience sickness upon the physical frame. But may we look to the Lord. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. Notice here that there's a spiritual side to these complaints as well. In verse 3, we see that David's soul is also vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? His soul was exceedingly troubled. His sickness affected his soul. Why was this? It is believed, certainly, that his sickness here was brought about because of sin. Matthew Henry states that these verses speak the language of a heart truly humbled under humbling providences, of a broken and contrite spirit under great afflictions, sent on purpose to awaken conscience and mortify corruption. And so there was a reason and a purpose for David to suffer these things. In verse 1, we read, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. And the word chasten is used. It simply means to correct by discipline. And David's situation here was caused because of sin, and the Lord was correcting him through the means of the sickness. When we sin, our souls should certainly be vexed. If we can sin freely without any effect upon our souls, if day by day we can engage in sin and our souls think nothing of it, we are in a poor state spiritually and in a poor state regarding our work with the Lord. If we can sin freely in thought, in word and deed, and it have no impact upon us, then we have to not only question our spiritual walk with God, but perhaps even, are we really saved? The true child of God will hate sin and detest sin and seek to turn from sin. But if the sins that are engaged in have no impact upon us, if they do not cause our soul to be sore vexed, like David's was, then we have to examine ourselves. We have to consider our spiritual state. It is important to note that while David here was being rebuked by the Lord, the sickness was upon him because of his sin. We must note that not every sickness, not every trial or trouble is a result of direct sin that has been carried out by ourselves. Of course, sickness and illness, the trials, the troubles, tribulations of life are all caused by sin. Adam's sin. Sin came into the world, and sin has devastated the human race. But not every trial or sickness that comes upon us is a result of our sin against God. When trouble comes our way, of course, it is beneficial to examine ourselves and to see if we are being rebuked for sin, but this is not the case in every situation. We should also be careful of blaming the situations of others. Other believers, the situations in which they find themselves, blaming those situations upon sin in their life. We could look at Job, and the things that Job suffered, they were great, they were horrific, they were terrible. He lost his health. In Job chapter 1, before he even lost his health, so many things came upon him that would almost make us question. Was he being rebuked by the Lord? Was he being judged by the Lord? He lost his livestock, he lost a lot of his wealth and his servants, he lost his children. And we certainly, from the human perspective, could say, was this man being judged by God for some sin? But the Bible is clear that Job was a righteous man. The Lord permitted those things to happen. But he was a man who was righteous. And the trials in our life, here, that David's sickness certainly was because of sin. But not every trial, not every situation comes upon us because of our sin. David's ailments are a result of iniquity. Despite being a man after God's own heart, he did fall into sin on numerous occasions. Yet the Lord was gracious unto him. My soul is also sore vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. Notice the intensity of these complaints. The intensity of these complaints. In verse 6 and verse 7, we see the intensity of David's torment. If we turn to Psalm 102, we will see a verse that can correspond with this. Psalm 102 and the verse in number 5. It says there, by reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. And here in Psalm 6, David is groaning. I am weary with all my groaning. He's tired out by his groaning. He's becoming weary. John Gill, who was a predecessor of C.H. Spurgeon in London, he said that by reason of bodily illness or indwelling sin or the actual guilt of transgressions or the hidings of God's face or a sense of divine wrath or the temptations of Satan or afflictions and crosses of various kinds or fears of death or even earnest desires after heaven and eternal happiness or the low estate of Zion, each of which at times occasion groaning in the saints, as in the psalmist, and is the common experience of all good men, the psalmist being weary of his disease or of his sin, groaned till he was weary with his groaning. Verse 6 refers to his bed. I am weary with all my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I was camping recently, just off the beach, and a comment was made that if I had camped too far down the beach, well, my bed might be swimming the next day. But that is not what it means here. David was not going to fall asleep and wake up in the sea upon his bed. That is not what is being said in the psalm. What is meant is that his bed is swimming, his couch is watered with his tears. These are expressions of grief. It is impossible to take the description of his bed swimming in a literal sense. We cannot cry enough, we cannot weep enough to literally cause our bed to swim. Certainly it can be wet, certainly it could be soaking, but it is humanly impossible to make it swim. But these terms are used and they imply much weeping. A weeping to the extent of, we could say, crying his eyes out because of his grief. Verse 7 refers to his eye being consumed because of his grief. And when we really weep, then we feel the agony of our eyes. They become red, they become blotchy, they become sore with the amount of tears and weeping that takes place. There's a reference as well there in verse 7 to David's enemies, who obviously rejoiced to see him in such a condition. But David's agony here, his weeping over his condition, it was intense. But do we, when we feel God or when we sin against him, do we feel such a grief as David did? Do we experience the same weeping over our sin as David did? Because of our sin, do we make our bed to swim, as it were? Do we water our couch with tears? Do we have a heart, a soul that is vexed because we have failed the Lord, because we have sinned against him? And of course, such a response is based upon our view of sin. Do we see sin the way God sees sin? Do we understand sin in the same terms as God understands sin? The true child of God will hate sin, will detest iniquity. And when they fall into it, their soul will certainly be vexed. Notice here we have his plea as well, his plea. We've considered the background for David's pleading with the Lord in this psalm. In regard to his complaints, he's coming before the Lord. He's coming before the Lord, obviously, because he has sinned against the Lord, but because of these torments that have come upon him. And we can understand that because of this, such pleading was in earnest. His tears as well certainly show a pleading, or imply a pleading. And there are three main petitions in this psalm. There are four. I put in an extra one there and I forgot to change the heading. But there are four main petitions in the psalm. Firstly, they're taken from the text of the psalm, the passage. It says, "Rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure." From verse 1, David does not ask the Lord to stop the rebuke, but simply not to rebuke or chasten him in anger and wrath. He'd realized his sin. He was weeping because of it. He was weeping because he was vexed. But he did not want the Lord, obviously, to stop the rebuke, but not to deal with him in anger, not to deal with him in hot displeasure. Certainly he was deserving of that. He was deserving of being rebuked by the Lord. But he wanted to experience the grace and the loving kindness of his God. If we turn to Proverbs chapter 3 in the verse 11. Proverbs 3 verse 11. It says there, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." And of course, as a father, and your son does wrong, you will correct your son. And even though I have no experience of those things, from the scriptures I can see that the right way to do that is correcting in love, doing a loving rebuke, disciplining the son in love, not neglecting the discipline, but disciplining in love so that he will realize the mistakes that have been made. He will realize what should have been done. And next time, he will walk in the right way. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth." And David here, certainly, he needed the chastening of the Lord. Whom the Lord loves, he corrects. He did not want to experience the wrath of God, but rather the love of God. For those whom the Lord loves, he corrects. We'll turn to Hebrews chapter 12 as well. Hebrews chapter 12. And the verse number 6. And again, we see this in view. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Whom the Lord loves, he will discipline. Whom the Lord loves, he will point in in the right way. And David is desiring a comfort for his tormenting soul. He's desiring the loving kindness, the mercy of the Lord. We also have there, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, heal me." We have that in verse number 2. And that particular phrase should actually read, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed." I think it was supposed to be a direct quotation, but it's a paraphrase there, accidentally. But it says there's a quotation from Matthew Henry, that God would pardon his sins. This is what he is asking, that God would pardon his sins, for that is the proper act of mercy, and is often chiefly intended in that petition, "Have mercy upon me." Here he was realizing certainly his sins. He was realizing the mistakes that have been made, and he's pleading with the Lord to have mercy and to heal him. We see thirdly there, "Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake." Verse 4, the psalmist desires to receive the favour of the Lord once again, to experience reconciliation. He pleads the mercies of God, and the Lord always deals with us in mercy. "Return, O Lord, deliver my soul." His soul was vexed. His soul was extremely troubled, and he's praying to God to deliver his soul. "O save me for thy mercy's sake." The Lord always deals with us in mercy. We must remember that. When we come to the gospel, the Lord dealt with us in mercy. We don't deserve the position in which we find ourselves in today as sinners saved by grace. We don't deserve the position we have, the standing before God, being justified in his sight. It's all because of the Lord's mercy. The Lord deals with us in mercy. And then fourthly there we have that phrase from verse 8, "Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." David did not desire to be the recipient of evil work or the participant in sin. He did not want to face the wrath of the enemy against him. He did not want to participate in their sin. And that should be our cry. May we be preserved from those who work iniquity, but may we be separated unto God. May we be far from those who work iniquity. David here is mourning over his sin. And he's praying, "Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." He wanted no association with sinners. He didn't want to walk in the way of the ungodly. Spurgeon refers to the pardoned sinner forsaking his bad commandment, his bad companions, in this particular verse, verse 8. The pardoned sinner forsaking his bad companions. And when we were saved, our lives were changed. Yes, we may have friendships. We may still very well have friendships from our unsaved days, but we do not do the things that we once did. We do not engage in the activities in which we once engaged. And David here is saying, "Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." And there is a very simple thought. Certainly as a young person growing up, I heard it time and time again. I preached it time and time again, that it is important for Christian young people and all types of Christians regarding their age, whether they're young, whether they think they are young, or whether they are older in years. It is important to have good Christian company. Bad company, company amongst the workers of iniquity, is company that will cause us to stumble. The temptation is there. It's right in front of us. A young person hanging around with friends who will go out to the nightclub, will go out drinking, will participate in the drugs culture, that is putting temptation right in front of them. And they will feel pressurized to follow their friends, to fit in. But yet, as a Christian, their cry should be, "Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." Their cry, their desire. Thirdly here and finally, we notice his assurance. His assurance. And David, in these Psalms, despite the situation in which he found himself, he was always full of assurance. He was always full of assurance. This point could apply to almost every psalm we've come to so far concerning David. I haven't looked at any of the other outlines when I've been doing this. I just hit the delete button, save the document as a new one, and proceeded from scratch. Maybe we have another point in there somewhere that refers to David's assurance, but we have it here in Psalm 6, verse 8 to verse 10. David is praying with confidence in God. He believes wholeheartedly that the Lord will answer his cries. Verse 8, the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. In verse 9, he states that the Lord has heard his prayers, and this is the confidence that the man of God possesses, a confidence that the Lord has heard his cry. May we, as the people of God coming to pray, may we have such a confidence that the Lord has heard our supplications. May we leave this place tonight. May we go to our homes. May we have that surety within us that the Lord has heard our supplications. We have not been praying in vain. We have not been praying to a false god or idol like Israel a fool. We've been praying to the living and true God, our God. We are his people, and he has heard our supplications. Verse 9 shows us as well that David used past answers from the Lord to encourage him in the present. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will. Looking to the future, the Lord will receive my prayer. The Lord has heard his cry in the past. The Lord, it will answer him in the future and in the present. Notice the verse 10, as we close, is a prophecy based on the Lord hearing the cries of David and answering his petitions. He would no longer be vexed. He would no longer be sore afraid. But his enemies would experience vexation and shame upon themselves. The people of God will, even though it may not seem like it at times, we will have the victory over our enemies. And we've seen that already in these studies in the Psalms. The Lord will give the victory to his people. Matthew Henry said, in singing this and praying over it, we must give glory to God as a God ready to hear prayer. We must own his goodness to us in hearing our prayers. We must encourage ourselves to wait upon him and to trust in him in the greatest straits and difficulties. There's a closing part there about Christ in this psalm. The Lord Jesus Christ was sore vexed in body and soul as he bore the sins of his people upon the cross. But he had the assurance of the Father's love and was raised again from the dead. The enemies of Christ will be shamed and sore vexed, referring to verse 10, when he comes to judge the world. Hebrews 5 verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save from death, and was heard in that he feared. Strong crying and tears, and that's what David did here. Lord Jesus Christ, in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweated great drops of blood, the scriptures refer to. He knew emotion. He knew strong crying. He knew tears. And David here was one who did cry. He made his bed to swim. He warded his couch with tears. His eye was consumed because of grief. The grief of his sin. May we, when we sin against the Lord, may the Lord keep us from sin. May we have a desire to flee from sin. But when we do fall into sin, may we have a grief for it. May we not just put it to the side and forget that it ever happened, ignore it. It means nothing to us. But may we detest it. May we hate it. May our souls be sore vexed, and may the Lord come and deliver us. May the Lord help us. May the Lord be gracious unto us. May the Lord bless these thoughts on this particular psalm for his name's sake this evening. Amen.